morning, I see the evidence of His goodness all over my life. Yeah. Never heard that one. I like that one. That's a keeper. I like that one tonight. Yeah. Yeah. Bible there, turning to my text, I ran across an outline from a preacher that I sat and listened to many times, and he died with cancer here a couple years ago. Great big man, and watched him dwindle down to nothing. I was with him in several meetings around. He's from Georgia, I believe, South Carolina, somewhere down south. But anyway, I couldn't help but think about the goodness of God, and sometimes we don't see all the goodness. Sometimes we see the problem instead of the goodness. Now, I'm not going to preach on this tonight, but I'm going to share something with you. So listen, and I wrote this down. I rarely write down an outline of someone else preaching in my Bible. Now, I write down on the paper, but I probably ain't done that once or twice in 40 years that I've wrote it in my Bible. But I want you to listen to this right quick. Five lessons in the school of suffering. And I couldn't help but think when I turned to him, I said, "My, look at the goodness." Teddy sat there testifying about the things we've been through and the things that he's given us, and we've been able to look back on and see the goodness. You can't see it when it's happening. But see if I can read my own writing here. It says, five lessons in the school of suffering. It'll force us to believe God.
Yes.
When we go through some things, He'll give us hope when I struggle, and He'll give me hope when I stumble.
Yes.
I thought, well, that's good, ain't it? But then He'll frustrate me with trouble, and I said, well, how in the world can you get any good out of that? And I had to read over there. I want to read you a scripture here. But I'm trying to help you for a minute. It says here in Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. When you suffer, you can't dwell on that. You got to look above that. And then it says, another lesson in the school of suffering, He fashions me to become tender. Huh? I cry so I can dry the tears of others. Huh. I thought, well, that's helpful. He fills me with His touch. That's a lesson He gives me. He fills me with His touch. You know? A lot of fruit in the valley. You know, not much grows on the mountain. You ever go up, me and Cheryl, I never had been there, but one time we went up to Seneca Rocks and we went plumb over to whatever that high place is. What's the highest place? Spruce Knob. ain't no needles but on half side of the tree. I mean, that rough looking. Cheryl said, ain't this pretty? Well, it looks pretty rough to me. But it is pretty, it's pretty. But you know, there's fruit in the valley. And then the last thing on the lesson for in the school of suffering, He frees me from the travesty. Huh? He frees me. The preacher said, laugh when you carry a load. It's a lesson in the school of suffering. Just laugh when you carry a load. Just smile and keep going. A lot of things we can look and see the goodness that He lays us with. Is that not true? Appreciate the songs tonight. Appreciate Lee. I'm tickled she sung. I'm glad Garth sung the other day and Lee sung tonight. I appreciate him. And I seen a little girl standing beside a pulpit years ago,
yes,
climbing up on a chair to sing.
Yep.
I know my Redeemer liveth.
Right. Yes, yes.
A long time. A long time. So we're glad for what the Lord has done. All right, everybody all right? Now you're going to have to listen carefully tonight. You're going to have to listen to find the point. All right? I'm not going to give you the point until after I'm done. All right, so you're going to have to listen. Maybe you'll find it. If not, we'll share it with you. But I just want you to think tonight. I'm concerned about our church. I'm concerned about revival. I would love to see old-fashioned revival. But I'm concerned about the lost, the unsaved. Me and a man was talking this week, and he's talked to several people this week about the Lord. And he was talking about how that majority of the time people are receptive to the gospel. They may not accept it, but they do listen. They will listen. The problem is not as much in them not listening as us not telling.
Yeah.
Does everybody understand that? People will listen if you'll talk to them.
Yeah.
But we don't take time to talk to people. We take time to complain. We complain to people. We complain to the cashiers like it's their fault when things ain't right in the store. And we complain to the girls at the drive-in window when our order's not right, when they ain't the one that made it. We complain to the people who deliver our gas because the gas is too high. We complain to the man that comes to fix our transformer when the breaker kicks because our power bill's too high. Ain't his fault. He just works there. We readily complain about everything. You would think that we have nothing. Because we complain about everything we have. We complain about the price of food. If it's cheap, we say, well, probably ain't no good. Is that not true?
Yeah.
Man, they come down on a hamburger. It's probably old. Is that what we say or not?
Yeah.
Hey, they got crate apples over here. I bet all the ones, I bet the good ones are on top. The rest of them are bruised, I bet. Yeah, is that not? We complain about everything. We complain about others' kids, our kids. And the reason our kids are bad is because they pray with all their mother's kids. Yeah. We complain about public school, Christian school. Then we complain about homeschool. We complain about public school because we don't want to send our kids there because they're too evil. Then we complain about Christian school because we're afraid they'll teach them wrong. And then we're too lazy to homeschool them.
Amen.
And we let them train themselves.
Come on.
We complain about everything there is.
Yes, yes, yes.
We complain about cars, trucks. And now we don't even like one model because they're all junk. Used to be you could say you was a Chevrolet man. Now you just got to bite your tongue and say it and not really mean it. You know, because everything's junk. And we got people who used to be Chevrolet men and drive Fords now because of their wife. And Stephanie and Matt, who were talking about there. In case you didn't know. But we complain. We just complain about everything. We complain about work. Then we complain because we don't have work. And then we complain because we work too much.
You're right.
I mean, that's what we do. You know, we say, you know, man, work looks slow, man. How's things going? Man, I got so much stuff. I don't know why I'm working 7 days a week. I don't know when I'm going to get done. I mean, that's... We complain about church. We complain about church. Well, preacher preaches too long. Right? Y'all notice, you know, 3 Sundays in a row, we was late getting out. And we had a big crowd on Sunday night. This Sunday, I preached, and we was out 25 minutes earlier than we have the last 2 Sundays. And nobody showed back up tonight. I notice these things.
Yeah.
I do. I know when you're not here and when you are. You see, we complain. Complain about the sin. Wednesday, we probably went home and complained because the PA system wasn't working. Yeah. Well, I don't know if they ever fixed it or not. They don't run it right anyway. We complain about everything. No, none of this is a message. It's just thoughts. These are just thoughts. But when we come to people that's unsaved, when we come to people that's unsaved, we won't talk to them. But we'll sure complain. You know, there's probably some people that would have loved to come to church till they talked to somebody that went. And after they talked to somebody that went, they said, well, we got enough troubles at our house. We don't need to go there and get in theirs.
Amen.
Is that not true? I had a man tell me, and he said, I ain't coming to church. Said, all they do is fight. Said, when I used to drink, run around, we fought. He said, so if I'm going to fight, I'll just go back to beer joint. He wasn't coming anyway. That was just what he said, but that wasn't why he wasn't coming to church. But he tried to make me believe that. But my point is, but we still don't talk to nobody about the soul. And I wonder sometimes why I don't more. So I'm not going to preach just to you. I'm going to preach to us, and I will. I promise you, it won't be more than 2 hours.
Amen.
All right. It might be real short, but I promise you it won't be more than 2. All right. So that's how we'll start encouraging everybody. I won't preach 2 hours. So. But I want you to just think. Well, there'll be a thought here, and we'll go home. How about that? Father, help us tonight, I pray. I do love you. I know I don't show it. I do want to serve you, but I know I don't show it. I do love the lost, but I understand I don't show it. I do want to strengthen the brethren, but Lord, I understand I don't show it. Lord, I know that prayer is the key, but I know that I don't show it. I know that your word is so important, but yet I don't show it. Father, I fail, but you're wonderful. There ain't nobody like you. Don't deserve nothing, and you give me everything, and I sure do thank you. Lord, I can't preach without you. I need your touch. I need your help. Speak to our hearts and our minds. May we go from this place pleasing you, and I'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Just a simple thought tonight. Listen carefully or you miss it. They say that love is a strong emotion. That's what they say. I don't know who they are, but that's what they say. They say love is an active word, an action word. Active is that love don't sit stagnant. That love's got to move and do something, and it's got to work. And I believe that. They say love has no bounds. I've heard that. That if it's true love, there is no bounds. There's no way. You can't measure it. That love just goes and expands, and there's nothing greater than love. And that may be true. It may be true. But I've even heard that you got to have love to motivate you. I've heard that. I've read that somewhere. That love motivates you. You know, I watch all these couples. They start courting, then they get married, and then have a cycle of kids. And I watch the path. I watch the Google eyes at a distance, and then I watch the talking, and then I watch the togetherness, and then they get married, and then they have kids, and then I watch them apart again. And there ain't no Google eyes, it's drawled down eyes. Never seen this, the beat of facial expressions that changes in the course of a pastor with young people and kids and children. And when you're around in a place long enough, you get to see it all. But they say that love motivates you to do things that you normally wouldn't do. Is that true? Is that true? Love will motivate you sometimes to miss trout fishing. Well, love might make you motivate you to miss turkey season first day or something. There's always things that happen. Love will make you miss deer season and go to work instead of going hunting. Goodness. They say love motivates you. I don't know. That's what they say. So just think about that tonight. Mark chapter 9. I'm just going to read a little bit of scripture and make a few comments and I'll be done. Mark chapter 9, start of verse 14. It says, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him saluted him. When he asked the scribes what questioned he with them, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him. He fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked the Father, this is Jesus, and he asked his Father, how long is it ago since this came to him? And he said, of a child. And all times they have cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said in him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Oh, how the Father must have loved that son. He brought him to the disciples, and they couldn't help him. Took him to church, and church couldn't help him. So he had to make sure he brought him to Jesus. Oh, how he loved his son. About John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 40. Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 40. It says, one of the two which heard John speak, speaking of John the Baptist, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found a Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, how he must have loved his brother. Must have loved his brother an awful lot. First thing he did was he found his brother and brought him to Jesus. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. We'll start at verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. It says this, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Oh, how that man must have loved the ones that worked for him. Brought him to Jesus. No, said Jesus, I can't get him here. Will you just say the word?
Yes.
Must have loved his servant awful lot. How about Mark chapter 2? Mark chapter 2. Start at verse 1. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Him four must have loved their friend awful lot. Must have loved him awful lot to carry him on a bed on top of a roof and tear the roof off to get him to Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He must have loved his friend awful lot. How about Romans chapter 9? Romans chapter 9. Verse 1 says this, Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 3, says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul, writing here to the church, and he must have loved them awful lot.
Yeah.
Because he had great heaviness and continual sorrow in his heart. And he said, I wish myself were accursed. I wish that I'd go to hell.
Yeah.
If my brethren get saved.
Right.
Yeah. Chapter 10, must have loved them a lot. Must have loved them a lot. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 says this, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they've been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. His desire, Paul's desire, was that his brethren, that Israel, that the whole country gets saved. Must have loved them a lot. Must have loved them a lot. How about Acts chapter 20? Acts chapter 20. We'll start at verse 17. Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 17. It says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I look here, Paul is really concerned about the people there at Ephesus. Must have loved them a lot, for he kept back nothing. Showed them, taught them publicly from house to house, with many tears and temptations, things lying in wait, many afflictions, it says, but none of it moved him. Must have loved them a lot. Down in verse 31, in Acts chapter 20, it says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He must have loved them a lot. Oh, how he must have loved them. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 14. John chapter 3, verse 14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. Talk about Jesus there.
Yeah.
Being lifted up like Moses did, as a priest this morning on the cross, dying for the world, not coming to condemn the world, but to save the world, knowing that men love darkness rather than light, because they was evil. Must have loved us a lot. Must have loved us a lot. See, what I read to you tonight was, oh, how that father loved his son a lot. Oh, how the man loved his brother a lot. Oh, how the man loved his servants a lot. Oh, how the four men loved their friend a lot. Must have been a lot. Must have loved them a lot. Huh? Then we got a preacher that he wasn't just a pastor, but he was just a preacher. And he said, you know, if I could work it out, I'd go to hell for y'all. Y'all go on to heaven, I'll go to hell. He must have loved them a lot. He must have loved them a lot to say, I'd just soon be accursed. If I know y'all get saved and the Lord had cursed me, take me to hell and y'all get saved, that'd be good enough for me. Must have loved them a lot. Huh? Must have loved them a lot. That my only desire is that they get saved. Not some of them, but all of them. Must have loved them a lot. To go on to a town that was in idol worship, didn't do nothing but worship Diana in the temple and have all the religious prostitutes and filth. And he said, I went through a lot of afflictions and tears to witness to you every day publicly, telling you need to repent and trust Christ. There's a lot of afflictions waiting me, and I don't even know what's really on the mar. It's going to get tough. But I've not ceased to warn you day and night for the space of 3 years with tears. He must have loved them a lot. You all got lost people. Every one of you's got lost family, lost friends, lost brothers, lost children, lost workers, lost friends, lost people in the city. Love, they say, knows no bounds. Love, they say, is a strong emotion. Love, they say, is an action word. Love, they say, will motivate you to do things. The last one I read was John chapter 3, where Christ died for all of us. Must have loved us a lot. And I just wonder tonight, how come love don't motivate us? How come love don't motivate us? The daddy wasn't satisfied till the boy got to Jesus. The friend wasn't satisfied till they tore the roof off. The brother wasn't satisfied because the first thing he done was went and got his brother. The man that had servants said, I ain't worthy for you to come to my house, but if you'll just speak the word, can you take the time? I'll have enough faith for all of us. But Jesus told him, I've never seen no such faith in all Israel as this. But I can't get over Romans 9:1. That a man would say, if I get all my family saved, get all my brethren saved, Lord, if I get them saved, if you just let me go to hell, if you'd promise to save all them. Must have loved them a lot. And I just wonder why love don't motivate us. Father, we need you tonight. There ought to be something that motivates us to get the gospel to our people. I've not found the key yet. Maybe you can help us out. Father, I pray tonight that the love of our people and our families might motivate us to get them the gospel at all cost before they go to hell. In Jesus' name, amen.